You can listen to The Professional Left wherever you get your podcasts, on Netroots Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There is a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at Post Office Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for the week of April 26th, 2024. It's Not Safe for Work.
Recorded live from the Cornfield Resistance, it's the Professional Left with your friends, Driftglass and Blue Gal. And we got this note from a listener following our No Fair Remembering Stuff About Sarah Palin episode earlier this week. And I'm going to read it right now. Quote, "My dad was an enormous fan of John McCain. After he lost in 2008, I went to his house to tell him I was sorry that his candidate lost, even though I'd voted for President Obama. My dad said, my candidate didn't lose. I voted for Obama. I couldn't believe it. I could barely stammer out, why? My dad responded, three words, President Sarah Palin, unquote. Which kind of restored my faith in at least 0.0001% of humanity, Blue Gal.
Yes. And as we mentioned last week, this has been a very busy week for us, researching and recording two podcasts of our own and appearing on two others. We had a lot of fun on the Bill Show this week. Bill is an expat living in Australia, and if you look up the Bill Show on Spotify, he's there. And we just had a really fun podcast with him. Mm-hmm. And we will be recording slash appearing on the True Blue podcast out of Chicago tomorrow, Friday morning. Mm-hmm. So take a look for that. And this last week, of course, has been another absolute geyser of news, trivial news and consequential news.
Yeah. And we're going to start this week with an alarming development at the courthouse for Donald Trump. His wet fart attack in court was covered in real time by the American professional political media. And it sounded a little something like this. There's something going on in the courtroom. We're hearing sounds. Sounds like a big wet dog being dragged across a leather sofa. No, it's not a dog. Definitely not a dog. It's clearly farting. Trump farting. Farting uncontrollably. We can see people running away from the farting. Trump's lawyers are trying to wave the stink away with their ties. NYPD is moving in to cover Trump from public view. This was not a one-cheek sneak. Repeat, not a one-cheek sneak. This is a full-on wet fart attack. I can see Trump's body being lifted up and down from the force of the farting. They seem to be coming rapid fire now. Firemen are arriving on the scene with bottles of Febreze. Trump is trying to deny it was him, shaking his head vigorously, pointing at the sketch artist. But then another stink barrage from the defendant's corner. That one hanging in the air like a thick fog. The prosecutor is struggling to maintain composure, repeatedly clearing his throat to press on. This is unprecedented. We have never seen a gas attack like this with a frequency or the magnitude in any American courtroom, let alone a trial of this historical significance. Back to you, Andrea Mitchell.
In more serious news,
yes,
Christina Bob, one of Donald Trump's many former attorneys and a far-right television talking head, who was a rabid supporter of efforts to overturn the 2020 election, was just appointed to the job of Republican National Committee Senior Counsel for Election Integrity. She has also just been indicted by the great state of Arizona for the 2020 fake electors plot.
Yeah, perfect.
In a similar case, Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, and Rudy Giuliani were named as unindicted co-conspirators in the Michigan Attorney General's case against the state's 15 fake electors in the 2020 election. All these fake elector plots are being handled by state government.
That's right.
Michigan prosecutors believe the three participated in the scheme to commit forgery by attempting to replace Michigan's electoral votes for Biden with electoral votes for Trump at the certification of the vote on January 6th. Now, this is what you call a teachable moment. Mm-hmm. Here's a fun fact that should always be kept in your back pocket. The reason the great state of Arizona didn't bring this case against these traitors sooner is that until January of 2023, the attorney general of the state of Arizona was a pro-Trump Republican. His name is Mark Brnovich. He had no interest in prosecuting the fake elector co-conspirators, but You know what? Driftglass, uh-oh. He was term limited out of office.
Oh, no.
And the Republican candidate to replace Brnovich was Abraham Hamada, who said things like this during the course of the campaign, quote, "There were people who worked to rob President Trump in the rigged 2020 election." But his Democratic opponent, Chris Mayes, was able to run a genuinely competitive campaign, raise a ton of money, and mobilize support statewide, thanks in large part to the backlash to the Republican Supreme Court majority overturning Roe v. Wade. And she won, but she only won by a 280-vote margin to become Attorney General of the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
This is out of over 2.5 million votes cast. So if 281 people had decided to blow off voting that day, none of these morally bankrupt clowns would be headed for trial in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, that's how knife's edge, everything is balanced right
now. And this is how confident that they were that they get away with it. They videotaped themselves doing it.
Yeah, they were, you know, there's a line from The Big Short where one of the characters is talking to these real estate assholes who are just writing loans right and left. And
yeah.
And they're saying, why are they confessing? And he says, they're not confessing. They're bragging.
Yeah.
They were thrilled to be doing this. This was great. They were going to win. They were going to cheat. And they were going to take over the government. And nobody could stop them. Now.
And they'd be rewarded for it by Trump.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. They would receive land and tribute and women and gold and whatever else they wanted. But speaking of bankruptcy, sad news today from the blogging world is Jim Hoft, a.k.a. the Gateway Pundit, a.k.a. the stupidest man on the internet, declared bankruptcy after a suit from election workers. The founder of the Gateway Pundit, the infamous conspiracy theory site, announced on Wednesday that the company had declared bankruptcy. Jim Hoft published a message on the website that read, quote, TGP Communications, the parent company of the Gateway Pundit, recently made the decision to seek protection under Chapter 11 of the United States Bankruptcy Code in the Southern District of Florida as a result of the progressive liberal lawfare attacks against our media outlet. Okay, here's what actually happened. Georgia election workers Ruby Freeman and her daughter Shay Moss sued the Gateway Pundit in December of 2021, alleging that Jim and Joe Hoft, twin brothers behind the conspiracy theory site, engaged in, quote, a campaign of lies that, quote, instigated a deluge of intimidation, harassment, and threats that has forced them to change their phone numbers, delete their online accounts, and fear for their physical safety. Now, considering the trial of Rudy Giuliani on exactly these same charges has already been held, Giuliani's already been found guilty, and a jury has already awarded Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss just over $148 million in compensatory and punitive damages, the odds that the Hoft brothers will be able to weasel out of this seem very, very, very slim. Now, in case you're unfamiliar with the Gateway Pundit, it's a notorious source of viral lies and hoaxes and conspiracy nonsense. It has been described by the Harvard Journal of Law and Technology as one of the websites that, quote, primarily propagate fake news, by Newsweek as a fake news website, and by CNN as a website, quote, prone to peddling conspiracy theories. In July of 2021, a spokesperson for Google said that the company had demonetized the Gateway Pundit's homepage and some of its articles, stating, quote, "We have strict publisher policies that prohibit content promoting anti-vaccine theories, COVID-19 misinformation, and false claims about the 2020 U.S. presidential election," unquote. Money right out of their pockets. Meanwhile, fun fact, in March of 2013, the Gateway Pundit founder, Jim Hoft, was awarded the Reed Irvine Award for New Media by the Accuracy and Media Watchdog at the Conservative Political Action Committee, CPAC. I'm sorry, conference, not committee. That's CPAC. And finally, Twitter permanently suspended Hoft's accounts on February 6, 2021 for repeatedly publishing misinformation about, you guessed it, the 2020 presidential election. You know, lying all the time, lying every day. But guess what? It was reinstated on December 16, 2022, following Elon Musk's acquisition of Twitter. Yeah.
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, Driftglass, we have two candidates for the worst both-siderist take this week.
Mm-hmm.
First one is a Reuters headline that several listeners sent to me. The headline is, "Cable news coverage of Trump trial reflects a U.S. divided."
Oh, no.
Both sides are not, you know, accurate in their coverage of the Trump trial.
We're so
divided. One is covering it and one is definitely not.
Yeah, you had a lot of fun with that this week.
Last night, especially when the Arizona bombshell dropped, you and I played steeplechase, kept switching over to Fox. And at one point, you know, Joy Reid got this and stopped her show cold.
Right. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And this is what they talked about. And then, you know, it was the news for the rest of the night is the people working for the former president are being indicted in Arizona. Mm-hmm. You turn to Fox and it's the media is obsessed with Melania's outfits.
Right. Right.
And then Jesse Waters later on was something about drag queens corrupt youth.
Yes. Yes.
And of course, wall-to-wall coverage of campus protests turned violent.
Sure, because that's a much bigger story. No, they're not. They're really not.
There's scuffles, there's arrests, there's stuff. But, you know, the idea, if you're watching Fox, you think that some college student is going to rush your door and kill you because of Gaza.
And you know, you and I both know that campus unrest has been a perennial topic on the right long before Trump.
Right.
And I mean, you know, there was a time when David Brooks, every other column was about campus speech code and unrest. And Michael Gerson and Brett Stevens, they were fucking obsessed with it. Yeah. And you and I both understand why. Because if you're going to say both sides do it, the left has to be doing something.
Yeah.
And even if the right is committing treason or trying to overthrow the government or staging incredibly dangerous bullshit or going to jail
and record numbers. Tax cuts for billionaires and raping the economy. Yes. You know,
lying us into a war. Whatever.
Yeah.
The mainstream media fetish for both sides do it requires there to be some liberal thing that liberals are doing. Fortunately, they have fellow travelers all over the media who all took up the chorus of, yes, but what about campus speech codes on, you know, six universities in America? What about that, huh? What about that, liberals, huh? I mean, isn't that just as bad? And it's their go-to move. Yeah, Fox knows it. And
it gets viewers.
Yeah.
It gets the viewers riled up against, you know, the youth today, kids today.
These kids today, they don't understand.
Kids today with their drag queens and their tent protests.
And their Woodstock and their pot. Oh, wait a minute.
Absolutely. It's been going on forever. Since Trump voters were in college.
Absolutely.
Maybe. All right.
Now, competing
and the
with
other
that.
Both-siderist take of the week was Cornel West making a power move from occasionally interesting crank, which he was.
Yep.
To raving crackpot. When he told the Washington Post in an interview published Tuesday, both parties are beyond redemption, Driftglass.
Yeah. Matthew Dowd. He owes Matthew Dowd at least $5.
Yeah. He owes Matthew Dowd $5. Mm-hmm. The Post never bothered to ask Cornel West what he thought of the fact that right-wing goofballs like Scott Pressler are out there collecting signatures from Trump supporters on West's behalf to get West on the ballot in an effort to make him a stalking horse for Trump, to take away votes from Biden. And very blatantly saying to the Trump supporters, we want to get Cornel West on the ballot because it'll hurt Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Will you sign here, please? Oh, yeah, sure. And no one's asked Cornel West what he thinks of that. In 2016, West endorsed Jill Stein over Hillary Clinton after spending most of the year as a Bernie Sanders surrogate. West has since turned on Bernie Sanders for endorsing Joe Biden, who's giving Bernie an awful lot of what Bernie wants.
Yeah.
By the way.
That's sort of how politics works, isn't
it? That's
sort
of what Bernie Sanders is, very much an issue-oriented person. Mm-hmm. And then he also turned on Jill Stein. But we don't know why, and we're not going to bother asking.
She's not a good enough Marxist, I guess.
Yeah, I guess not. But as you wrote in our notes, Driftglass, it's faculty lounge pettiness. You know, it just is.
Yeah.
You had something from Digby that you wanted to share.
Yeah, there's some breaking news. Literally, as we're recording this, the Supreme Court is really, really scaring people in the direction it's taking this immunity trial for Donald Trump. And the best breakdown that was handed to me just as we were going on the air is from Digby, and it includes a bunch of quotes from a bunch of people. I'm going to read about half of it just to give you the gist of it. But we're going to start with a quote from Justice Sotomayor. Quote, there is no fail-safe system of government, meaning we have a judicial system that has layers and layers of protection for the accused in the hopes that the innocent will go free. We fail routinely, but we succeed more often than not. In the vast majority of cases, the innocent do go free, but we still fail. We've executed innocent people. Having said that, Alito went through a step-by-step of all the mechanisms that could potentially fail. In the end, if it fails completely, it's because we've destroyed our democracy on our own. This is now Digby writing. The argument today was depressing. It seems clear that the cult of unitary executive is very intrigued by the idea of granting full immunity to a president. The cult is a majority of the court. Then she quotes Rick Hassan off Twitter. Alito tries to turn things on their head by saying to encourage peaceful transition of power, you need to give incumbents absolute immunity so they won't leave. So they will leave and they won't worry about prosecution later. This is the most insane thing I've heard today. There must have been crazy things. He seriously said that back to Digby. This was a terrifying Supreme Court argument. It's clear that the majority actually favors Trump's arguments that a president must have immunity. Whether they're willing to go that far remains to be seen, but it's almost certain now that the J6 trial will likely not see the light of day before the election. We are in big trouble, people. Big trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's the that's all I want to read right now because it's very depressing. But the Republicans are getting their money's worth on the court. They really are.
Yep.
They invested shit ton of money creating the Federalist Society and stacking that court with right wing authoritarian scumbags, and now they're getting what they paid for. So
that's kind of
important when it comes to elections. And Jill Stein versus Hillary. Not a dime's worth of difference between the two. Ralph Nader, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, nobody was keeping an eye on the courts except the right, and the right got what they wanted. Anyway, on that note, let's do a news roundup, Blue Gal.
Yeah, the President Bidening continues. 45% of Americans say climate change is a very important issue, but only 10% of respondents have heard a lot about what the President Biden administration has done to address it. So as a public service, we're going to explain all the things the Biden administration has done for climate change.
Okay.
You start, Driftglass.
President Joe Biden rejoined the Paris Climate Agreement on his first day in office.
Biden signed the bipartisan infrastructure bill that allocated $550 billion to combat climate change.
President Joe Biden signed the Inflation Reduction Act that included nearly $370 billion to combat climate change.
Biden canceled all 7 Trump-issued oil and gas leases in Alaska's Arctic National Wildlife Refuge and prohibited oil drilling in 13 million acres in the federally owned National Petroleum Reserve.
President Joe Biden issued executive orders to conserve at least 30% of federal lands and ocean areas by 2030 and cut the federal government carbon emissions by 65% by the end of the decade and to be carbon neutral by 2050.
And what was Trump's record? Trump withdrew from the Paris Agreement, rolled back environmental regulations, promoted fossil fuels, reduced the protected land areas surrounding national monuments, and dismissed climate change as a hoax, and called for global warming to, quote, come back fast, unquote.
If climate's your issue, if anything is your issue, there really isn't any comparison between the two.
Yep.
Now, in a 90-minute conversation in the Washington Post with the Washington Post, Lee Ann Caldwell, and hosted by the University of Chicago Institute for Politics this week, Chris Christie made the following 3 hilarious points. Number 1, voting for Joe Biden would be stupid. Number 2, Joe Biden is well past his sell-by date. And yet, number 3, Joe Biden is stupid for not courting Chris Christie's vote anyway. So,
speaking of people who are past their sell-by date,
yeah,
that would be Chris Christie.
He might be giving up all 4 of those Christie voters who still think Chris Christie is anyone you want to listen to on any subject at all.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee passed a bill to let teachers carry guns at school. The move comes a year after 3 children and 3 staff were killed in a school shooting in Nashville. The bill will now be sent to Republican Governor Bill Lee for consideration.
I'm
nope.
Just, Just shaking my head.
Shaking our heads.
This is from friend of the pod, 10 Grain, who always listens to the podcast and always promotes it. And we are very grateful for him to do that, for doing that. This is at his blog, Mock Paper Scissors. And we might make a regular feature of pulling out some of the lesser known bloggers out there, because there's still a lot of bloggers doing a lot of good writing and including him in this podcast in future podcasts. Quote, if you can believe it, Carrie Lake flips back. Oh my God, she flipped back? Really? Yep. Self-declared governor of the terrible sand kingdom of Arizona Stan, Carrie Lake, talking to some Idaho newspaper, flipped again. I guess she was hoping that the terrible sand people of Arizona Stan don't read the papers from there. In an interview with the Idaho Dispatch on Saturday, Lake described the recent court decision upholding the 1864 law. Quote, the Arizona Supreme Court said this is the law of Arizona. But unfortunately, the people running the state have said we're not going to enforce it, Lake said, expressing disappointment in steps taken by Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs and Attorney General Chris Mays, both Democrats, to block prosecutions under the ban. We don't have that law as much as many of us wish we did, Lake added. As you might recall, the last time Carrie Lake graced our pages, she was begging Arizona to change this law, unquote. Because, you know, the meatheads won't notice. They don't care. She's just
doing cartwheels to try to preserve her campaign.
Her vice presidential,
And that too. Yeah. The Washington Post is reporting there's too much cheap energy, too much sun. Quote, rooftop solar panels are flooding California's grid. That's a problem. The state and its grid operator are grappling with a strange reality. There is so much solar on the grid that on sunny spring days when there's not as much demand, this is in California, electricity prices go negative. Gigawatts of solar are curtailed, essentially thrown away, unquote.
Yeah. That sounds like the sort of problem that a smart grid and battery technology would, you know, alleviate.
Yeah,
or at least
you would think so, you know.
It's
a smart grid would be really great.
You know, they used to say about nuclear power back in the ready kilowatt days, too cheap to meter, Blue Gal. It would be too cheap to meter. And we have it. It's pouring down from the skies.
Yep.
This is from Axios. Hakeem Jeffries emerges as Congress's shadow speaker. I love this story.
Yes.
Representative Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat of New York, found himself in an unusual position for a minority leader last week. It was he, not the House Speaker, who had the ultimate power to decide whether legislation came to the floor. Why it matters. Democrats got everything they wanted. A $95 billion foreign aid bill, the credit for passing it, and adversaries more divided than ever. In their telling, that total victory wasn't a sure thing. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat of California, a master legislative tactician, heaped praise on her successor. He is fabulous. We're so proud of him. Blue Gal, just for a second, can you imagine anyone saying, Mike Johnson is fabulous. We're so proud of him.
No.
Or Kevin McCarthy is fabulous. We're so proud of him. They hate their leadership because they hate government. Anyway.
Yeah.
Back
to anyone who has to get something done
is
they
a monster.
Can't stand.
Is a monster because they don't want to do governing. They want to do, you know, tear it all down and piss on the ashes. One senior House Democrat told Axios, it easily could have fallen apart. He played the cards the way you'd want to play them. I would not want to play blackjack against him, the lawmaker added. Yeah.
Yeah. Stop the Presses, David Hope of the London School of Economics and Julian Lindbergh of King's College London have done that thing, Driftglass. They're remembering stuff.
They released a report.
And they released a report that is examining 18 developed countries over a 50-year period from 1965 to 2015. This new study says, wait for it, that 50 years of tax cuts for billionaires failed to trickle down, Driftglass.
Oh, my God. Arthur Laffer lied to me. They lied to Milton Friedman. Lied to me.
Milton Friedman.
Literally, everybody lied
to
me.
Yep.
And but you know, we're dumb. We thought it was true. We thought everything was getting better. The more tax cuts you have, the better everything gets. Speaking of beneficiaries of tax cuts, there were shots fired by Mitt Romney, of all people. Can you believe it? This is Mitt Romney talking about Donald Trump. I think everybody has made their own assessment of President Trump's character. And so far as I know, you don't pay someone $130,000 not to have sex with you.
Wow.
You know, Mitt Romney plus
sex joke from Mitt Romney.
Plus sex joke plus snark is not something I had predicted for my 2024
year. No, I didn't
year.
Have that on my bingo card, that's for sure.
Nope. But welcome all the same.
Yep. Now, this was a big mistake. Donald Trump's team let him do a lengthy interview with Pennsylvania's biggest TV station, ABC Channel 6. It did not go well, Driftglass. In addition to some cringy abortion mansplaining, Donald Trump called the New York judge corrupt.
Mm-hmm.
He attacked witnesses personally on camera, Driftglass, and he committed to taking the stand at his trial.
Oh, good.
In other words, he lied.
He lied. Or lied about lying. Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, he's never held accountable for anything except, you know, inside a court of law. But
it didn't matter because he was a shoo-in to win the Pennsylvania Republican primary this week, right?
That's right. He's going to. Well, you know, there's a story there, Blue Gal, and it's a holy crap. Really? This is happening? This is kind of cool. Nikki Haley. Remember Nikki Haley?
Anybody
remember Nikki Haley? She got nearly 17% of the vote in this week's Republican primary in Pennsylvania, 6 weeks after she quit running in the Republican primaries.
Wow.
And it's much worse than that. Nikki Haley got 38% of the Republican primary vote in the suburban Philadelphia Bucks County, you know, where elections are won and lost.
That's one of the places. Maricopa County, Arizona, and Bucks County, Pennsylvania are where this election is going to be decided.
Yep.
And 38% of Republicans said no to Trump.
Fuck no.
Would rather vote for someone who's already dropped out of the race.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's horrible news.
My fingers are cramping up from crossing for
those
so long.
Those are primary voters, Driftless.
I know.
Those are committed. That is registered Republicans.
Those are ones who come out of their home when they didn't have to.
No.
To piss on Donald Trump.
Exactly.
Just to do that. Yeah.
Now, he did it on purpose.
This is a huge red flag for him because, you know, it's a battleground state. Yeah. And many of these people are just never, ever going to vote for Donald Trump. Don't know who they're going to vote for. Might vote for RFK Jr. I don't know. But they're not going to vote for Trump. And that is something. That's not nothing.
Yep. Complaints that pregnant women were turned away from U.S. emergency rooms spiked in 2022 after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, federal documents obtained by the Associated Press reveal. And regarding the Idaho abortion case heard by SCOTUS this week, at Julius Goat on Twitter noted, "Love to see our great Supreme Court deliberating on matters like, should a hospital save a woman's life? Yes or no?"
Yes or no. It's up in the air. But none of this matters, Blue Gal. None of it matters because Lauren Boebert, Lauren Boebert says divided government doesn't matter because she predicts the signs and wonders that are talked about in the Bible will occur soon.
Well,
you know?
She can't be raptured fast enough in my book.
Well, the whore of Babylon ain't going to heaven, Blue Gal.
She'll be raptured someplace, though.
Not saying that rapture is going to happen or heaven is real or the whore of Babylon isn't just Bible code for Babylon. But let's just use the tropes we are given, Blue Gal.
Right. And the tropes that she's referred to.
Mm-hmm.
President Joseph Robinette Biden signed the $95 billion national security package into law, overcoming months of opposition and infighting by Republicans in Congress. The package includes aid to Ukraine, humanitarian relief in Gaza, and support for security in Taiwan and the Indo-Pacific. Thank goodness.
Now, this story, it was tricky for me, because it's a hard thing to understand, but because the people keep reversing themselves and re-reversing themselves. So
right.
The Arizona House repealed that Civil War era ban on nearly all abortions 2 weeks after the state Supreme Court upheld the 1864 law.
Yeah.
Now it goes to the Senate, but the deal is even taking the 1864 law off the books leaves Arizona with a 15-week abortion ban. And most importantly, abortion rights for all women are on the ballot in Arizona in November. And that's
right.
The important
thing. Reversing this 1864 ruling, which banned all abortion in Arizona,
was insane.
That was looking very, very bad for Republicans.
Yes.
And especially the Republicans who were cheering it on the state house floor. So three of the more moderate ones said, look, we'll still have a 15-week abortion ban, but we don't have to have all these headlines about going back to 1864. And we'll see what the Senate does. The governor's Democrat, she'll sign it. But,
sure, of course she will.
But we're still left after all of that, after all that fight over going back to 1864, we're still left with an abortion ban after 15 weeks, regardless of the health of the mother, regardless. I mean, this is the mess that Republicans have created for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're still going to have ads, white women sitting on a couch crying because at 16 weeks, they almost went into sepsis shock because the fetus inside of them was dead. I mean, I can just go on and on and on.
I know.
But it's just unnecessary for government to be involved in these decisions. And so, that's why it's still on the ballot in November. It still matters very much that Arizonians go out and vote this away.
Absolutely.
From Gizmodo, we have some breaking Tesla news. Quote, Tesla driver charged with killing motorcyclist after turning on autopilot and browsing his phone. Your Tesla is not a self-driving car, no matter how hard you want to believe it. The Tesla driver who told police he was, quote, putting the trust in the machine to drive for him, was inattentive to the road in front of him, and was only brought back to reality when he heard a bang as the car lurched forward, unquote. Dumbass.
Tough times for Tesla. Yeah. Watching Donald Trump's, you know, social media stock drop almost as fast as Tesla is an experience.
Crash and burning. Yeah.
It's something. Now, Donald Trump will likely be found in contempt of court for violating his gag order in the election interference case involving falsified business records to conceal hush money payments during the 2016 campaign. And thank you to the news media outlets that are calling it correctly the election interference case and not the hush money case, because that's not the substance of the case. The substance of the case is election interference. Prosecutors argued that Trump violated the limited gag rule at least 10 times. Boy, howdy, did he. And asked Judge Juan Merchan to hold Trump in contempt of court, fine Trump $10,000, and force Trump to delete his social media posts. Quote, his disobedience of the order is willful. It's intentional, prosecutors said. He knows what he's not allowed to do it, and he does it anyway, unquote. And that, in a nutshell, is Donald Trump. He knows shit he's not supposed to do, and he goes ahead and does it anyway. And there's one party standing in his way, and one party greasing the skids.
And I'm going to push back on this. I know Keith Olbermann has his, you know, panties in a twist about call it election interference instead of porn star hush money. Donald Trump should have been impeached for porn star hush money.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no doubt about that.
You know, a misdemeanor, unbefitting of the office of the presidency. He should have been removed from office for that. And I think the public imagination, the way the public sees it, is, you know, Donald Trump being a scumbag and paying hush money to a porn star and covering it up. But yes, the point is that all of that apparently is legal. NDAs are legal and so forth. What is illegal is bribery in order to influence the outcome of an election. That's where the...
Right.
And also, you know, taking it as a tax write-off. Come on. Unbelievable. When I heard that 3 years ago, that just blew my mind.
Well, and the actual benefit from this trial is watching Donald Trump sitting in court, farting and sleeping and raving like a madman that he has to sit still and listen to someone else for 6 hours or so.
Yeah.
And people reading his tweets back to him in court.
Yeah.
You know, reading their opinions of him in court. And he can't do shit about it. And watching him just wind himself up and explode. And, you know, I like the idea that Juan Merchan will say, look, here's the deal. You're going to jail. You're going to jail after the jury has been impaneled.
Yeah. After when they're gone.
When the trial's
done. And
they're
making their decision.
You're going to, now, whether it's you go to jail for 10 minutes or 10 months depends on your behavior from now on.
Right.
I will decide when you go to jail. I will decide how long it's going to be. And that is all contingent on your fucking behavior. Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Mm-hmm. And make him sign his big, you know, cardio signature. And that's it. And then we're done. And
that has nothing to do with hung jury.
Nope.
Or that is the judge's absolute decision. Now, Trump can appeal that. And it's a question as to whether he remains out on bail, whether the judge gives him bail.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Also, this goes back to the Untouchables.
Yeah.
You got to get the bookkeeper.
Yeah, you do.
And Weisselberg wrote everything down.
Yeah, he did.
Everything Michael Cohen said, everything Trump said, everything that was how it was going to work, how where the money was going to be, how it was going to be explained to the IRS. It's all written down.
And somebody quoted The Wire. I thought that was kind of cute. Oh, they couldn't say what was said on The Wire because there's some words in there you don't use ever or on television, but you don't take notes on a criminal conspiracy.
Yeah, you taking notes on a criminal conspiracy?
Perfect.
Thought I was supposed to use Robert's Rules of Order and take notes. Testimony resumed in Donald Trump's election interference case involving falsified business records, with tabloid publisher David Pecker taking the stand for a second day to detail the catch-and-kill scheme to bury negative stories about Trump during the 2016 election. And let's face it, Hillary Clinton has such a case against Pecker and Trump for actual malice.
You mean...
I mean, she's just
death?
A better person. She just doesn't have time. You know, she's busy helping the world be a better place. But
And Pecker admitted on the stand that, you know, they just lied about stuff. They just made stuff up. You know, that was
their business. They just made stuff up about Hillary.
Make
shit
up.
Because of the election.
Because of the election.
Yeah.
And I, for one, am sick of the fact that my news feeds are full of Peckers and Johnsons and Johnson Peckers. I'm just sick and tired of it. So, you know what we're going to do? We have not, it's not quite a new feature, but I was delighted to discover, as doing research for this podcast, that we have multiple stories about labor.
Yeah.
So we're going to do something that the local newspaper stopped doing 40 years ago. We're having a labor section today. This is so in labor news today, the Federal Trade Commission banned employers from using non-compete contracts that prevent workers from switching jobs within their industry. It is the first time in more than 50 years that the FTC has issued an economy-wide regulation to how companies compete. Robbing people of their economic liberty also robs them of all sorts of other freedoms, FTC Chair Lina Khan said. Hell yeah. The FTC estimates that banning non-competes would create jobs for 30 million Americans and raise wages by at least $400 billion over the next 10 years. Yeah.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, North America's Buildings Trade Union endorsed Joe Biden. Union President Sean McGarvey. I wonder what nationality he is.
Hey.
Wonder what boat his people came over on.
Like Sean Fain? You mean like
Sean McGarvey. Mm-hmm. McGarvey, yes. He said, quote, Biden's given workers in this country confidence that they're worth it and should demand it. I see the great things and huge organizing wins that we've had and ones that are coming. And it's based on the support of the president. And here is their ad for Joe Biden.
You are promising America tonight. You would never abuse power as retribution against anybody.
Except for day one.
Donald Trump, he's not a good man. He's not a good person. He does not care about anybody in this world except Donald Trump. That's it. That's all.
A very clear and present danger.
Now he's looking to get in that position again to exert revenge on people. I go all the way back to the 80s with Donald Trump and him trying to, you know, get his mug on page 6 of the New York Post. The only difference between the Donald Trump of the 80s and the Donald Trump of today is he feels totally free to let his dark side out. And his dark side is very, very dark and very, very dangerous for this country. We can't let our democracy that we've worked for and we've cherished just disintegrate with the wrong leader and at the wrong time. I can tell you that he personally committed to me that he was going to get our pensions fixed. He understood who was affected by these pensions. He assured me, I'm the president of the United States, I'll just call Mitch, I'll tell him to put it in the bill. Is everybody going to love me? Everybody loves me, right? Is everybody going to love me? Yes, Mr. President, you fix the pension, everybody's going to love you. Well, that was wasted breath. There was lots of other things put in that bill. There was tax cuts put in that bill for rich people. Donald Trump promised infrastructure every year.
Infrastructure is the easiest of all.
Donald Trump was not interested in any of the policy that actually goes along with being president of the United States. Trump was interested in the pomp and circumstance, the plane, the helicopter. It's all about him. Donald Trump is incapable of running anything, let alone the most powerful country in the history of the world. And God help us if he gets anywhere near that White House in the future.
Sean McGarvey also had something significant to say about Trump supporters. And I don't ever watch Morning Joe, but I had this on and he said this and I brought you into the living room and rewound it so you could hear it.
Wow. Yeah.
He said this. He said his union will not waste a lot of time with supporters of former President Trump as it gives President Biden its endorsement. Quote, "We're not going to waste a lot of time talking to every American that supports Donald Trump. And we're not going to waste a lot of time with some of our members that support Donald Trump because we're not going to change their minds," Sean McGarvey said on MSNBC's Morning Joe. And that is a lovely, refreshing thing to hear. And I think it's important that Trump supporters realize that responsible people have written them off.
Yes. You're still going to get all the benefits of all.
You're going to get all the benefits of union membership and the infrastructure that Joe Biden is putting in to investing in our country. But we don't have time. We are not going to waste time with you.
Like you tell Bosco almost every day, "I don't have time for your bullshit, Bosco."
Right. I have to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But then he says, "My supervisor says that it's my job to supervise you."
Fine. And then you appeal it to the union shop steward.
Yeah, your shop steward is not interested.
This story is from National Public Radio. Quote, "Workers at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga, Tennessee have voted overwhelmingly to join the United Auto Workers, setting a new trajectory for labor unions in the American South. Some 73% of workers voted in favor of unionizing," unquote. And do you know who thinks this is a terrible idea?
Ugh.
Republicans think it's a terrible idea. This is from the Associated Press. Quote, "Tennessee Republican Governor Bill Lee said Monday that he thinks workers at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga made a mistake by voting to unionize under the UAW in a landslide election, but acknowledged the choice was ultimately up to them. Ahead of the vote, Lee and five other Southern Republican governors spoke out publicly against the UAW's drive to organize workers at factories largely in the South, arguing that if auto workers were to vote for union representation, it would jeopardize jobs," unquote. Yeah, because it's 1890, you know?
Right.
Now, do you know who's pushing back hard, who pushed back hard against this anti-union garbage? This is again from the Associated Press. Quote, "President Joe Biden condemned the push by Lee and other Southern Republican governors to urge auto workers to vote against the union. The Democrat praised the success of unions representing auto workers, Hollywood actors and writers, healthcare workers and others in gaining better contracts. Let me be clear to the Republican governors that tried to undermine this vote. There is nothing to fear from American workers using their voice and their legal right to form a union if they so choose," Biden said in a news release on Friday, unquote. Hell yeah.
In journalism news, the gray lady really does rot from the neck down. Mm-hmm. This is from Politico. Quote, "The petty feud between the New York Times and the White House. Biden's people think they're entitled. The Times says they're not being realistic. According to interviews with 24 people on both sides who were granted anonymity to discuss a sensitive subject, the relationship between the Democratic president and the country's newspaper of record," now that's Politico talking, not me, "for years the epitome of a liberal press in the eyes of conservatives, remains remarkably tense, beset by misunderstandings, grudges, and a general lack of trust. Although the president's communications teams bristle at coverage from dozens of outlets, the frustration and obsession with the Times is unique, reflecting the resentment of a president with a working-class sense of himself and his team toward a news organization catering to an elite audience, and a deep desire for its affirmation of their work. On the other side, the newspaper carries its own singular obsession with the president, aggrieved over his refusal to give the paper a sit-down interview that publisher A.G. Sulzberger and other top editors believe to be its birthright. Fuck you." That's me editorializing. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, "Democrats believe in the importance of a free press in upholding our democracy, and the New York Times was for generations an important standard bearer for the Fourth Estate," said Kate Berner, who worked on Biden's 2020 campaign and then as Deputy White House Communications Director before departing last year. "The frustration with the Times is sometimes so intense because the Times is failing at its important responsibility."
As we all see every day. We saw it in the Hillary campaign.
We all know it.
The Clinton
Everybody
campaign,
knows it.
The dozens of the stories about her emails, just endless, yeah, relentless, pounding away so they could feel good about themselves, taken down, yeah, you know, taking her, yeah, down a peg or two. Yep. Yeah.
In Sulzberger's view, according to two people familiar with his private comments on the subject, get the hubris here. Only an interview with a paper like The Times can verify that the 81-year-old Biden is still fit to hold the presidency. All these Biden people think that the problem is Peter Baker or whatever reporter they're mad at that day, one Times journalist said. It's AG. He's the one who is pissed that Biden hasn't done any interviews and quietly encourages all the tough reporting on his age, unquote, in order to get the interview so that we look like the paper of record.
Yeah. It's and there was a back and forth on the Twitter about this the other day, which were reporters, I forget, Washington Post or New York Times, complaining that, well, why doesn't Biden just do it? Why? I think it was Jane Mayer. And mm-hmm, I like Jane Mayer 99% of the time, but it was, well, maybe because the American political media, including especially the New York Times, mm-hmm, has shit the bed so hard for so long and has been so reckless and irresponsible in the way they write stories, the way they frame issues, the way they write headlines, that everyone's lost faith in them.
Yep.
And that there's and the Biden people see no downside to sidestepping them because what are you gonna, if you give them a sit down interview, what? You know, what's going to happen? You're going to stop talking about bullshit. You're going to stop playing both sides. You're going to stop doing all the things you've done to jeopardize democracy. Probably not.
Nope.
So, you know what? Liberals hate you.
Yeah.
Conservatives think you're the devil. So what's the upside in talking to you at all? Now,
you're going to save all those stories for your book deal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
on Trump.
It's, you know, and I'm sorry, but you can't talk to anyone in the blogosphere. Anyone who's a veteran of the liberal blogosphere about the Times, like getting a laugh because they've been so bad for so long. There's a lot of things they do that are really good, but political reporting is not one of them.
Yep.
And they are blatantly elitist and they are blatantly biased. And they really do think they are the most important institution on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of planet Earth, this is news from outer space. The most distant spacecraft from Earth has resumed sending data after a 5-month gap, NASA said Monday. So somebody's talking to the New York Times, I guess. It's a spacecraft far, far away. This is from CBS News. Quote, NASA's Voyager 1 spacecraft was launched in 1977. I was in high school. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter was the president, and this thing was launched about 2 weeks after the launch of its twin Voyager 2. The spacecraft has spent 45 years studying the outer solar system and has made flybys of Jupiter and Saturn and has traveled more than 46 billion miles. That's billion with a B miles. In November of 2023, the spacecraft suddenly stopped sending readable science and engineering data, NASA said in a news release. Mission controllers were able to determine that Voyager 1 was still receiving commands from Earth and operating normally, but the science data could not be read, and researchers did not know the status of the craft's onboard engineering systems. Last month, the craft's engineering team, I assume who are all 80 years old at this point, was able to confirm that the issue was related to one of the three onboard computers that made up Voyager 1's flight data subsystem. Remember, these are computers from the 70s, guys, mm-hmm, from the 70s. Many of you probably haven't seen computers like this. The system is what packages science and engineering data into a readable format before sending it to Earth. It wraps the stuff up and mails it off. The team determined that a single chip responsible for storing a portion of the system's memory, including some of the system's software code, wasn't working. The chip couldn't be repaired, and the code was too large to place in one new location. Again, the limits of memory in computers in 1977 were brutal, brutal. However, NASA said, so the team worked to relocate the affected code into multiple sections of the flight data subsystem. It took weeks to repackage the code, NASA said, and last Thursday, the new location was communicated to Voyager 1. It takes about 22 and a half hours for a radio signal to reach Voyager 1 in interstellar space or the space between the stars, NASA said. On Saturday, drumroll please, the spacecraft's mission team received a response confirming that the code modifications had worked. Unquote. Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's
hell
wonderful
yeah.
news.
That really
wonderful
is.
Wonderful news.
It's just sometimes my species just blows my mind.
Mm-hmm. And finally, some more good news. This is good news out of Baltimore. You all know about the tragic Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse and the loss of life there. And we are sad for the immigrants who died on that bridge that night.
Yeah.
But we have good news. The first cargo ship since that tragedy has passed through a newly opened deep water channel to reach the port. So there is progress on opening up that port again. The new channel will remain open until Monday or Tuesday and then close again until roughly May 10th. During the closure, crews will work to remove steel spans from the deck of the Dolly, which is the ship that crashed into the bridge, and refloat the ship, which will then be guided back into the port, officials said earlier this week. The port's main channel is set to reopen next month after the Dolly has been removed from the collapse site. That will allow for a normal flow of traffic to resume through the port, which is just remarkable. But for now, this 35-foot depth is a substantial increase over the three other temporary channels established in recent weeks. And again, engineering. It's the same thing with, you know, the Voyager. This is what do you do? How are you going to fix this problem? Well, we got to dig a temporary, deeper channel so ships can get through this one spot. And then weeks later, we can do this and, you know, and having to, a timeline as to how you're going to do it.
Get smart.
It takes tremendous intelligence.
Get smart, expert people working on the problem, working on the problem.
All of them know that the president and the federal government under that president have their back.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to fix this. But you know that Joe Biden has your back to get this done. And that there are competent people at the Department of Transportation.
Yeah.
You know, Pete Buttigieg, the stuff he's doing with airlines and making them take responsibility for canceled flights and lost luggage. Fantastic news. And competence. But getting back to the story. It's an increase over the three other temporary channels established in recent weeks. It puts the cleanup effort slightly ahead of schedule. As officials previously said, they hoped to open a channel of that depth by the end of April, so ahead of time. And again, this is Biden's America for the win.
Yeah. Yep.
And I want to thank everybody for listening. I have a letter here, Drift Glass.
Oh, yes. We have a letter.
Somebody, a lovely person named Kathy, sent me yarn this week.
Yes. Beautiful yarn.
It's beautiful yarn.
I know it's beautiful yarn.
It's fingering weight. Merino Superwash. She sent me two skeins of Superwash Merino. So soft. And it's a this isn't going to make any difference to you, Driftglass, but it's 150 grams skeins, which is 574 yards a piece. It's over 1,000 yards of fingering weight wool yarn. The good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that she bought these. These are seconds. They might have a knot in them, which is just fine. When you've got 574 yards to work with, a knot is going to be okay. But Kathy wrote and said, Drift Glass and Blue Gal, after receiving a federal tax refund for the first time in years, I decided to gift some to my favorite podcasters. I listen to all episodes and I'm a big fan of No Fair Remembering Stuff, especially. And I hope you love this yarn as much as I do. A bit about the yarn hand-dyed in Germany by Claudia, who I've had the pleasure of meeting twice. If you run across her yarn in the colorway Hoochie Mama, my friend and I inspired the name.
Oh, you're famous.
She's famous. I'm going to be looking for Hoochie Mama yarn, apparently. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all you do, Kathy. Oh, that's so wonderful. And Kathy has two dogs. Who eat freshly poured for seniors, which, you know, our fake sponsor is happy to feed senior dogs as well.
All dogs, all pets, all
right.
Pets.
And each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty sent in by you, the listeners. This week we have an internet dog named Watson. And in this photo of Watson, this is the look that Watson gives when it's time for his bedtime milk bone. He will not take his eyes off of his human until they produce it. And Watson is brought to us by our fake sponsor, Listen Mommy Dog Treats. Two words in the English language that every dog knows. Listen Mommy. Listen Mommy Dog Treats from the makers of Freshly Poured Cat Food, our other fake sponsor. And you can visit Watson at our Facebook page or website, and you can send your internet kitty, dog, or other pet to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, where you can also write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write to us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service, Go Postal Unions, letter on the air unless you say otherwise.
Do not forget our gourmet coffee guidelines. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. We love doing it, but it is our job. And if you can spare $5 a month, please spare $5 a month at patreon.com/prolaughpod. There's another thing you can do for us. Doesn't cost nothing. Share our show on social media. And if you love this podcast, please get someone else to listen to. And thank you for doing that.
Hey, Drift Class, how are the internet kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, the internet kitties can kind of understand why Voyager 1 might have ghosted us.
Let's think about living.
Think about living.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, lovey dovey. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying, and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under a Creative Commons license. Copyright 2024-25, GGBG Productions. Thank you, Drew Glass.
I love you, Blue Gal.
I love you, too.
Bye.